Amen. Hallelujah. That was a pioneer. Back to the pioneer days. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want to know what a pioneer work is? Is exactly what we just did right there. You're trying to sing, and everybody's like, and we're all trying to get it going together, and we're just all glory. But that's the glory days. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad. And then you got somebody that's trying to lead it that doesn't know how to lead. Amen. Hallelujah. But how many know that the grace of God? Listen, it's God's grace that we make it through. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to do the sixth word. How many will take a guess on what the sixth word is this morning? Don't all raise your hand at one time. Don't all come all at once. What would the sixth word that Jesus spoke upon the cross be? Anybody, take a guess. You moved your hand, girl. Listen, I saw you move your hand. I'm like, and then I saw you. I was like, I'm a hawk. Amen. When I see a movement, if I see Hugo, ¿qué es la palabra? La palabra sexta que Cristo habló en la cruz. I don't know. Esa no es. Amen. Tampoco. It is finished. Glory. It is finished. John 19:30. Who wants to get it? John 19:30. Go ahead, Johnny. The book of John, 19:30. El Evangelio de Juan, 19:30. You got it. John 19:30. So let's go ahead and use the mic so that we can go ahead and be able to get it up. Yes, sir. John 19:30.
So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Amen. It is finished. So the word that was spoken by the Lord as he hung, it might just be, listen to me, it might just be one of the saddest words that was ever proclaimed by man. He might have been putting a period, listen, done, upon the dreams of the hopes of men all over the place. It could have been a word of failure. How many know that? I'm done. When you and I say we're done, what does that many of times perceive? Anybody? I give up. I'm done. Go ahead.
I quit, I win. That's what my brother used to say.
I'm done. Jesse, back in the back.
I surrender.
I'm done, right? I surrender. I'm done. At the foot of the cross of Mount McKinney, a skeleton was found seated at the foot of a tree. Just above was a finger carved into the bark, pointing down to the skeleton. Besides the finger were written the words, "End of the trail." Done. Finished. They told of the tragic story of a person who had set out to climb the mountain, but his strength had failed. He had died with his purpose unrealized, unfinished. Even so, by the words finished, Jesus might have meant simply that he himself had reached the end of the trail. He might have just been saying, I'm through. I've reached my limit. Nothing but shame and defeat and death. But how many know that we have the luxury of being able to read the full story? And that is what's amazing, folks, is that it was not a word of defeat, of despair. It was not a word of surrender. On the contrary, it was a shout of victory, a shout of triumph. It was uttered in the thrill of an impossible and irrepressible joy. What was the secret that caused Jesus to be able to speak these words? See, there's nothing like saying, there's a saying that goes like this, to also call the here and now a veil of tears. It is to make earth a desert drear. Heaven is my home. See, Jesus was not homesick. How many know that? He was the creator of heaven. He was at where he needed to be. That was his purpose. That was his place. How many of us are in the place where God has us be? See, Jesus was not. God had called. He was not in the wrong place. He was not in a bad place. See, you and I look at the crucifixion and we say, that was horrible. Right? It was bad. But see, when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, what was the word that he said after every single thing that he did? No. He spoke a different word. It is good. It is good. It is good. See, everything that God did was good, including the crucifixion. See, you and I think of it as a horrible thing, an unjust. Listen, that's because that's the mentality of man, but that's not the mentality of God. Jesus spoke these words, be of good cheer. I'm blessed. Oh, the blessed, the gladness of the merciful, the meek, the joy of the meek, the happiness of the pure at heart. See, everything that Jesus did, folks, was complete. But it wasn't just complete, it was good. How many remember that commercial? You got the right thing, baby. How many remember that? Right? Because that was considered to be the perfect thing that you had. See, we know the life of Jesus. How many know that? Right? We know the life of Jesus. He lived a consecrated life. He lived life. Listen, Jesus lived life to the fullest. Jesus lived the life that he was given. He was not living the life that he wished he had. Right? If I was born to somebody else's or different parents, then my life would be better. If I was born in a different place, then my life would be better. If I was born with a golden spoon instead of a roach-infested house, then my life would be better. If I had been born X, Y, and Z, then my life would... Listen, Jesus lived the life and he enjoyed the life that he was given. He didn't live the life that he wished he had. See, we got to stop living the life that we wish we had. We need to live the life that we were given. Because that is the life that has a purpose for your life. See, I wasn't born 6'5". Amen. I told the gentleman that it was around 6'8". I said, I'll pay for the surgery. I just want 5 inches. But I wasn't given that, folks. I'm 5 foot something. I'm not even going to tell you what the something is. It's just something. And it's getting lower and lower. Because I used to be a little bit higher, but... The something is coming down and down and down, so I'm not even what I used to be. But can I tell you? That's the life that I have. I was born in Mexico. That's where I was born. I was born in my house. That's where I was born. I was raised in California. That's where I was born. I joined the army, got saved in Fort Hood, Texas, Killeen or Harker Heights, which is right outside. That's where I was born again. Every single one of us has a place. Listen, we got to stop fighting and stop saying, I wish that I was. Because then you're not satisfied with where you're at. Jesus said, this is where I was. This is what my purpose was. And this is where I'm going to fulfill it at. What did they say about Nazareth? What was the saying that they said about Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of there. But that's where Jesus came from. That's where Jesus came from. And Jesus, that's everything that Jesus was. He lived a life that was completely dedicated to the will of God. Jesus lived according to what God wanted for his life. What are you and I living for? What are we living for today? Anybody? Anton.
I'm living for the glory of my Father and his will.
No, but what are we living for if we're not living for God?
Ourselves, the world.
That's what we live for, folks. If you are not living for the purpose that God put you in for, then who are you living for? Jesus lived a perfect life. it was only natural that he should be the most joyous of men. He didn't say, woe is me. I have a bad life. Woe is me. I'm born in Nazareth. Why couldn't my parents raise me different? Why didn't I have all these different things that I see other people have? Listen, folks, Jesus didn't even have a place to be born at. But that was the purpose of God for his life. See, Jesus lived a joyful life. He was joy. Can I tell you, if we are going to live a Christian life, Jesus was joy. He wasn't happy, folks. Happy is emotional, right? But he was joy. Can I tell you? We can be in a point of despair, but still have the joy of the Lord. Oh, that's got to hit. Because we can be in a place that we are not pleasantly being at. But yet, there is joy in our life. See, Jesus was joy. Not only during the springtime when everything is blossoming. Not when things were just going well. Not when everything seemed easy. He was joyous even until the very end. When darkness came upon him, he bowed with his disciples for the last prayer together and said these words, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, one of the things that, you know, I love being around people. But you know, one of the things that I really enjoy is I really enjoy being around Hugo. You know why I like being around Hugo? Is because he has a joy. He smiles. Listen. He comes. He might be having a bad day. I don't know what he's going through. But can I tell you, there's a joy. We have to have that same joy in our lives. Because that's Jesus in our lives. See, since Jesus found life so joyous, it was not that he was so eager to leave it. The joy of Jesus was the joy of man who had completed the task that was worthwhile. Have you ever done something? Listen, I don't know. I cannot get into an engine, but when I fix something in my car and I know that it was something difficult, I say, man, that was good. That was good. That's what Jesus did. Listen, it was something that was going to be difficult in the eyes of man, but he said, man, that was good. He had not merely brought the task to an end, folks, but he finished it. It was complete, done. Now, you and I, listen, if Jesus had not finished, the veil would not have been broken. You and I would not have been able to come to God by ourselves. We would have had to still have an intercessor, because that's the way things were before. Have you ever gone to Catholic confession? That's the way it would have been. Oh, Father, I have sinned. And then he says, okay, go do this and go do that and go do this and go do that. Oh, I'm such a miserable man that this is what my punishment is. And that's what life would have been. But Jesus finishing everything, the victory was not partial, but it was complete. Complete. It was a picture from which you and I could erase nothing. How many know that when you see an imperfection in something, you go over there and you erase it, or you touch it up and you do this? For Jesus, it was completely done, folks. Done. Just as Jesus a few hours before had said to the Father, I have finished the work which you have given unto me. Now he shouted the same words upon the cross. See, he was rejoicing over finishing the greatest, most fulfilling task ever done by man. What was the task that the Lord came to do? Somebody get Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. John. Somebody get Matthew 9:12. Jesse. Somebody get John 10:10. Isaac. Somebody get Matthew 19:16. Anton. All right. Luke 19:10. This is what Jesus came to do, folks.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Mm-hmm.
That's you and I. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Can I tell you? You were not found. You were lost. Matthew 9:12.
Matthew 9:12, it says, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Listen, can I tell you, folks? We're sick. And you don't want to know what we're sick from? We're sick from sin. See, the Pharisees who saw themselves as morally upright, they did not need a physician. Jesus and his mission was to those who recognized themselves in a spiritual illness and desired for their lives a change of heart. Sinners who needed repentance. Jesus identified himself as the great physician. And the sick were those that acknowledged their brokenness and needed the saving grace. He had come to fulfill the sermon that the angels proclaimed on the day when Jesus, on the day the Savior was born, for unto you our Savior is born. That's what the angels, when the angels came as Jesus was born, for unto you this day, amazing, our Lord was born. John 10:10.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Isn't that amazing? The thief, who if you are not living for God and you are living for the world, is your daddy. Amen. That is who the thief is. He is the father of this world, right? So if you are not living for God, then you are living for the devil. He is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, you might say to yourself, man, I'm having a great day, but you're being literally destroyed piece by piece without you knowing. Piece by piece, you are being torn apart. Because that's what the devil comes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have a life and that they may have it more abundantly. That you might have your life full. Isn't it? What's the trade-off, folks? Misery or life abundantly? I choose life. But Jesus, when you choose life, not only does Jesus give it to you, but he gives it to you abundantly. That means that you are blessed. The mission, that's the mission of a thief. To bring your life to disperse. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus' mission was to provide you abundant life. A life characterized by spiritual richness, including joy, peace, purpose, rather than material possessions or worldly success. Jesus came to give you life and life abundant. He didn't come to make you rich. He came to give you life. Can I tell you, when I go, listen. If you ever go to a third world country, you will cry. You will cry. You want to know why? I'm there preaching in India. And this lady, she comes, the pastor's wife. She brings this lady to me and she says, Pastor, could you pray for her? I'm asking her, I'm like, sis, are you okay? She says, yes, I'm okay. But she says, my husband, when I get home, he's going to beat me. Listen to me. My husband, when I get home, he's going to beat me. And he's going to beat me because I come to church. And I asked the pastor, I said, does this lady come? He says, she is faithful. Knowing that she's going to get beat because her husband doesn't want her to come to church. She comes to church and she says, God, I'm going to need you to strengthen me because when I get home, listen, that's life in a third world country. It's not America. You don't have the rights. Wow, we got right. Not there. Not there. She says, Pastor. She says, pray for me. That God would give me the strength. Because when I get home, my husband is going to beat me. Oh, that shouldn't happen. Well, that happens, folks. Okay? That happens. That's the life of a thief. But you know what? The lady came and she was such a joy. She was there and you should have seen her, folks. That's her life. Imagine. This was her life. This is what she had. She wasn't rich. She was a woman of sorrow. But when she came, folks, she lifted up her hands. And I watched her the evening after I prayed for her in the morning service. And listen, she was there lifting up her hands. She just didn't do this. She lifted up her hands because she said, God, you are the one that is going to give me this joy. You are the one that is going to give me this excitement in my life. And God, because you are my God, my rock, my fortress, you are my redeemer, I'm going to lift up my hands. Could you and I do that? Could we do that? Oh, we live in America. I don't have to do that. I got my rights, right? You go to a third world country, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change your life. I'm glad you came this morning. How is life in Cameroon? No, how is life when for those that are there? For those that are in there that are Christians. With the Lord, but for those that are not, it's difficult, isn't it? But life is hard in Cameroon, is it? It's different than America. Very much. It's different. Listen, when I was there and I talked to that lady, it broke me, folks. But I asked the pastor, and he said, she's here every service. She's there every service. And when she comes, she is one of the most faithful women. Imagine, you come, he says, you can go, but when you come home, this is what you're going to get. You take your pick. How many would have taken the choice of saying, you know what, I'm not going to get beat today, so I'm going to stay home? Right? I'm not going to get hit. So I'll just stay home more often than not. But when the pastor said she is one of the most faithful, she doesn't miss. Listen, that's not the life that we live here in America. So I'm not telling you to beat or hit or do anything else, because you're going to go to jail here in America. Amen? Okay? Here, or you're going to get hit back. Right? So that's not what I'm telling you to do, okay? I'm just telling you that this is what this lady did. She came knowing this is what was going to happen. How many of you would be here this morning if you knew that that would happen to you? Right? You'd be like, peace, pastor. I'm going to stay at home. I'll watch you on the live stream if you have it. See, she was not rich, but she was rich spiritually. Matthew 19:16, and we're going to come to a close.
Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
See, in other words, what the rich young ruler was saying, I want a quality of life that will be good for today and maybe good for tomorrow. Jesus was telling them, if you want a quality of life till the very end, this is what you have to do. How many know what the rich young ruler chose? The rich young ruler chose the life for the here and now. He couldn't give it up for tomorrow. He said, I'm satisfied with what I have now, I don't know if I'm going to have this quality of life tomorrow. See, I want a quality of life. Can I tell you, once again, if you go to somewhere out of America, don't go to a first world country. Don't go to a place where, well, Pastor, let me go here because this place is good. No, go to a place where it's a second or third world country, and you'll see the quality of life completely different from here. See, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he says, how can I find this life without having to give up anything? Jesus said, if you want life, you got to lose your life. Have you lost your life? Or are you still living your life? Because if we live a life, if we want to live a Christian, Christ-like life, then we have to lose our life to be able to gain our lives. Because until you lose your life, you're living life for you. You're not living for the Lord. Jesus said, I came that you might have everlasting life. That's what Jesus came to fulfill. He didn't come so he can get the glory. He came so that you and I might have life everlasting. A joyful life. Anybody want to add to anything or else? Other than that, we're going to close. Quickly.
He also said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.
If you surrender your life, you're going to keep everything, folks. See, the commandments are just the minimal. So if all we're following is just the commandments, that's all we're doing is the minimal. Right? I'm just doing the bare things. Jesus came so that you and I can have everlasting life. See, when Jesus said it is finished, there was nothing else needed. Everything that he came to do, it was fulfilled. He fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. Everything, folks. When Jesus said these words, it is finished. Have you ever tasted a coffee that you're like, man, it needs something else? You're like, man, I got to add something. This, something is missing. When Jesus said it is finished, everything was done. Nothing more, nothing less. It was perfect. He was done. It was finished. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came so that you and I can have a life everlasting. So when you and I look at Jesus, it's not the end of the trail. It's a life continued from where you're at here into the everlasting life. That's all we have. Service at 11.